everyone. I'm Sophia.
I'm Leah.
And this is Magical Baddies, the realest podcast on all things mystical, magical, and spiritual. Today, we are talking about Leah's... Leah's yes. beg, need, and want topic, New Age.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, we're going to... I feel like we talk about this anyway. And so now we're like having a more directed conversation, but we want to talk about New Age because, well, I can speak personally that I feel like I am right up in that world. And Sophia, if you don't feel like you're in that world, you're adjacent to that world, at least, like you know, people you're talking to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. We were starting to have this conversation after we recorded our last podcast, and we started to have this conversation now, and Leah was like, this is good stuff. No, let's record. Yeah. But so like when I think New Age, and you know, I might be dating myself here, but I'm thinking like early 90s, I went to Barnes and Nobles. I wanted to get a Sylvia Brown book under the section New Age. And you know, like I would go to my metaphysical shop that was ran by like two lesbian herbalists that definitely listened to Indigo Girls. And, you know, there's tarot cards and oracle cards and, you know, Course in Miracles. Like that's what I was thinking New Age was.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I think being in the occult world and learning spirituality from like root working and my Puerto Rican adopted mother, I was more adjacent to it, right? So like we would be like, this is where we go buy incense, you know, at the magical labyrinth up the street. My husband actually, who like swears he's not spiritual, but he's like an idiot savant when it comes to spirituality, he brought up how there's like a huge like white supremacy movement in New Age.
Yeah.
And when you and I were talking about this topic, that's kind of like the area that you wanted to talk on. And so for me, I feel like there's such a broad meaning to it for at least us like elder millennials, you know, Gen Xers. Where, you know, that's what we remember, you know, like, and
totally.
Because there wasn't a psychic section in Barnes and Nobles back in the day or Borders, you know, it was just a small section and it was New Age. I decided I'm going to research this stuff. Like I knew about the Norse stuff about that being like appropriated, and which is for me who, one of the deities that I walk closest to is Odin. It's sort of like gets under my skin, right? It definitely gets under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
But
gets under your skin?
Like the appropriation to white supremacy. Like,
oh yes.
Like taking on this belief system and saying like this supports our race and our superiority. Yeah. Which is like mind-blowing to me. But like, I guess it gives a sense of culture, right? And that's kind of like the overlapping giant joke is like, you know, white people don't have culture. Well, explain to me beach bathrooms. Like, so it's like, you know, I feel like this is like the fight back, right?
Yeah.
But as a practitioner, you know, it took me years to realize that I worked with Odin because he kept showing up to me, to other practitioners around me. And I was like, nah, look at the color of my skin. Look at me. Like that is not, you know. So anyways, so Lee and I were talking last night and I was like, dude, my phone is so fucked now because I went on this research, like just kind of like seeing what is out there in the world. And I think I'm just like, I all of a sudden my Instagram is all about ascension and 5G and all sorts of weird stuff. So I think there's a broad like definition. And like you were saying last night, it's a huge umbrella.
Yeah.
But what I see is like, it's almost like when you go so far left, you become like part of the right.
Yeah.
You know, that theory. And that's kind of like what I feel. But the overall or maybe the center of it was a lot of like, you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, you need to be doing this. It's a lot of like have to, want to, should to's.
Yeah.
And I think my resistance and before like hearing about New Age was like, you know, it would be like witchery versus New Age.
Yeah.
You know, like people that are into channeling and psychic stuff, like this is what they believe. And
yeah,
like, I feel like that would get under my skin too. Cause I was like, well, I don't identify as New Age at all. You know, a lot of what I do is ceremonial magic, but I am a psychic medium. I do channel.
Right.
I do believe in galactic forces.
Yeah.
And like, that's not fair for you to like say that, like just to like brush a paintbrush over everybody.
Right.
So it was like kind of like, there's a lot of emotions like reading into this. And like I said, like we should get magical baddie like burners and like sell them on a site because like you want to know, right, what you're talking about. But I was telling Leah, like I'm totally okay with not being educated in this world and just being judgmental. Like I'm totally cool. Like we promised you guys some shit talking and the last one was all kumbaya, love yourself. This one is like, fuck these people. What the fuck are they thinking? What is this about?
Yes, exactly. It's interesting that you say identify as New Age, because I absolutely don't identify that way either, but I know that my practices as an Akashic Records practitioner, as you know, I do theta healing and metaphysical anatomy, and I have a meditation practice, and like all of those things. I worked in a crystal shop. I like, you know, all of those things when added up together are like the picture of a New Age practitioner. But I don't locate myself within that umbrella, but I know that I'm there. And if I'm being honest, I love like the talk of stuff like ascension and like, you know, ET contact. I love it. But because I like study colonialism, I can't ignore the parts that are deeply colonial and deeply like problematic and white supremacist. I wish I could be ignorant to those things and just go to the conferences and just like eat the macrobiotic food and just bliss out. But it's hard once you open that lens to like turn it off. It's like really difficult. But you also mentioned a bunch of things that I understand are like kind of inclusive of the history of New Age, like occultism is a root. I know that you are deep up in Swedenborg's business right now. Dude,
I am like, I almost texted you last night and I was like, I'm going to see her tomorrow. But yeah, I'm very deep in Swedenborg right now, who, if those of you who don't know, was a really huge figure who influenced Jung. And he also went through like a mental kind of breakdown. Though, yeah. I mean, the theories are he couldn't have been that mentally broken down if he was like still on like doing royal services. But regardless, I know. But he was cognizant is what they were saying.
Yeah.
Like there were some theories that he was schizophrenic, and some theories are like, he was running multiple businesses. He was doing
fights. Yeah.
Regardless, you know, people like to like throw a mental illness at somebody who might be like in touch with something that's not physical reality. Yeah. Right. But he influenced Jung. He influenced Goethe. He influenced Nietzsche. Lots of heavy philosophers and thinkers. I mean, like Madame Blavatsky is a polarizing figure, and she's often called the godmother of New Age because she brought the Eastern thought west.
Totally.
Edgar Cayce, who I love, you know, the sleeping prophet. Actually, man, I had a dream about dolphins two nights ago, and I came home and I had something from Edgar Cayce's, like they send me stuff, and I opened it up and there was a dolphin, and I was like, get the fuck out. But anyways, he's also called like the godfather of New Age because he spoke a lot about like holistic health, and your body and nature. So like, yes, there is that, but I feel like, I guess to me, when I think of that new agey stuff, it's like almost like surfacey and not deep thinking. Right. I know that probably doesn't make sense because when you're in spirituality, you're supposed to be a deep thinker. But like, let's be honest, there are people out there that like it as a lifestyle and totally, as a identity rather than like something that makes you think outside of your comfort zone. Right. And so I guess I am up in it. But one thing you did mention about like the white supremacy part of it is I was on my way here to record this and I was thinking like maybe I wasn't so super aware of the new age stuff because as somebody who, you know, is a person of color, like I see white supremacy almost everywhere. So to me, it's kind of like, what's the difference?
So the reason I bring up those roots, so like my understanding of the roots of New Age include like this Theosophical Society, the New Thought Movement, Blavatsky, Swedenborg, like all these people that in the Victorian era were like interested in like religion and traditions from the East, like spiritual, non-physical, like experiences of the soul, of spirit. Spiritualism arose in that time. And I don't think, like for me, I can't ignore that when we do start to talk about the New Age movement as we know it from like the 60s and 70s, because that's really like, I think what a lot of people think of, like, you know, like cults and source family and like communes and like
star seeds,
yoga and like, you know, bringing all of these things moving into like white culture. It's not, it never, even like in those early days in the Victorian era, to me it's still it's being formed in the West in the midst of deep colonialism, laissez-faire capitalism, and that's what shapes the way it like evolves. So like when I'm teaching people about the Akashic Records, there's hot take, there's no such thing as an Akashic Record. Ooh. Like what happened was like the study of Vedantic Hinduism and the, you know, the Akasha is one of the like primary principle building blocks of existence. And it essentially, like the translations that I've heard are like vacuousness, emptiness, the ether, like like essentially a field of all possibility. And so the theosophists, the like Victorians, Blavatsky, like mapped that concept onto like a concept that they knew that was very colonial, which is like, oh, it's like an archive, like a record. It has all the information. So now today we use the term Akashic Records, but really that's such a finite, you know, concept mapped onto something undefinable, you know? But I use the term because that's what people know. And I'm not going to like, just say what I said, like every single time I tell people what I do. So like even that was like an origin of how colonialism or like Western culture got inserted into what we evolved into what we do today. I don't know. Thoughts?
I have so much to say right now because we're talking history and this is my stuff. So of course, immediately I'm like, Swedenborg wasn't Victorian. He was in the 1600s. So So in terms of Swedenborg himself, he didn't bring anything from the East to the West. His goal was to get the truth behind the Bible because his father was a minister and he was trained in Hebrew, which is like very rare for the time. So that was his goal. And as he sort of let go of the reality in which he was living, so he said he lived in two realities. He lived in the heavens or what we couldn't see and in their physical reality for 50 years. And when you read what he writes, he does kind of say like heaven is a place that exists, but there's like a poetic part to it. So it's like they have a sun, but the way we look at the sun, it's like the heat, and the way they look at the sun is like the sun is a ball of energy from God. Like there's kind of this weird whatever. And Madame Blavatsky did put a name to it because as humans, what we tend to do is when we don't understand anything, we equate it to the highest form of technology we have. So like for now, mm-hmm. like people say, I just had a download, you know, mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
you wouldn't say download in the 40s. Like nobody knows what that means. So right. we equate it. And so an archive or a record was the highest yeah. form of technology they had because they needed to put a label on it as well. So what I feel is like there's nothing wrong with that because in terms of language, and not that you're saying that, but in terms of language, I think people are constantly looking for ways to express themselves or name something that they only have a concept for, but not necessarily a definition for, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do feel the like the colonialism around it. It's like we've talked about this, like Reiki, right? You know, there mm-hmm. it's a form of energy work, but it kind of has become a catch-all, right? And mm-hmm. so when I see like white supremacy or something getting whitewashed, like to me, that's like a natural thing that seems to happen in like the spiritual world. It's like somebody latches onto it and like we all create a catch-all for it. So like for now, mm-hmm. I think like a lot of psychic mediums call themselves Akashic Record workers because or practitioners.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ew. They, like, Ew. I see that more than I see psychic medium anymore.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. I actually had this conversation with our dear friend, Shannon, who is also a psychic medium oh. and also works in Akashic Records. Yeah. And for me personally, that is why I don't call myself an Akashic Records teacher or practitioner. Mm-hmm. I just say Akashic, explorer of the Akasha, because mm-hmm. I do feel it is a very vast field that is so beyond our human understanding that it wouldn't feel right for me to just boil it down to right, like yeah. this celestial yeah. record, like yeah. library, you yeah. know? Yeah. So
you said so, something. Well, sorry, go ahead.
No,
sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, say so you said something interesting that I think is a part of colonialism. You said like humans want to put a category on something. And I actually, after, you know, like what I think that that's actually a part of colonialism to want to yeah. do that.
Sure.
Like that's a part of like Western ontology and that arose from like the modernist era to like have strict categorizations of stuff.
Yes.
Because I think there is like, and that's the part where I'm like, I say all this, like not to say that there's one right way to be or a wrong way to be. I mean, you can definitely be harmful. But even then, from an Akashic perspective, like, whatever. I don't want to get into, like,
excuse me. I was going to say, like, I'm drinking yeah. from a plastic bottle. So, like,
yeah,
you know, we're not perfect here. But I see what you're saying. And, like, I think, right, we are both, like, raised in the West, right? So, yeah. like, yeah, I say human. But I think that, like, as you go in further to this, and one thing I do like about Jung or Swedenborg is, like, they just get to a point where they're like, this is just what this is. Like, there's no like naming it. There's no whatever. And what I see in like New Age, like I saw a lot of like, you're in 3D, you're in 5, when yeah. you ascend to 5D, yeah. like there's so many names to yeah. things. And I think that as a practitioner, sometimes I would get clients and I think they would want me to name something or give them an answer to something. And I'm like, that's just part of what that yeah. is. Like you yeah. are out there, you know,
yeah.
like I can't yeah. define that for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, like what I'm trying to say is like, so like what I write about, like in my PhD is like the human subhuman split and that like yeah. the category of human arose in the era of enlightenment, like, and of course there were people and persons, but like this idea of like I'm a human and other people are not like me, therefore they are subhuman. It put like a you know, like we could talk about white supremacy up and down, but also if we go a step above that, there's like a human supremacy that is underlying a lot of like the New Age stuff too. So like I think like the roots, like anyone can like look it up, like look up the history, whatever, but like what we're dealing with like right now to me is like the evolution of this process that is deeply ontologically colonial. So like when you think about like the 60s and 70s and like white people, like the hippie movement, white people wanting to bring like Eastern traditions into the US, into the West, and like, that's fine, great, do that. But the way it comes over gets subverted into this like patriarchal Western way of being. So now we have, which is like now what you mentioned, like now we have, here's the way to do it. And you mm-hmm. must do it this way. You're mm-hmm. doing it wrong. And so like, no one is actually expanding their, I mean, like whatever, no one is actually, whatever they're doing it for, like healing, consciousness expansion, whatever, you're using it as a projection screen to just continue a way of being that is like about dominance, about control.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was like kind of, I was saying, you know, some people just do this as an identity. I think the deeper thing about this is like, when I research or read or whatever, and sometimes I'm just like, nah, fuck that. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking for is something that pushes me to think outside of the way that I normally think, you know, like, and mm-hmm. I think that a lot of these deep thinkers, were also on the search for that and unfolding. I think by doing that, you're like unfolding and reprogramming so much social and internal construct that you've developed or came here with. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that in terms of like new age or bringing stuff over, like people don't like to be uncomfortable, but they are looking, you know, it's not the same. We're going to sit here and talk shit and be like, fuck these people. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe, right. but I think a lot of us are programmed in a way that's like, well, I don't know if I can like think like that, or I don't know if I can like go that deep, maybe subconsciously, but they're like, oh, but if I eat the right foods, and if I do the right things and I meditate, I'm going to get like a nugget of it. And like, you know, whatever, if that's the nugget you get in this lifetime, that's the nugget you get in this lifetime. But I think that it becomes like almost culty, right? Because you're looking at a formulation and you're going, okay, well, I'm not using fluoride, or okay, I'm, and you know, whatever, however you want to say this or do this or whatever. But a lot of what I saw had a lot to do with our bodies. And again, my husband and I really like words. So he was talking about how like gaslighting was like the big word last year and in 2020, and this year it's albinism. And, but I think there is something to it, because the whole like holistic movement of like, you know, you should be listening to your body instead of getting IVF or using like birth control. Like that is poison. That is this, that is that. Like you're speaking to one person who has like the, you're speaking to a person that has like the ability and the privilege of taking it for just birth control or taking it because of XYZ. Like what about the people that need it, you know, because of whatever you're going through, you know, like we worked really hard to get pregnant with Esme, and I did it all. I did the diet, I did the acupuncture, I did the mother wound, I did all of that. So I think it's like sort of this like idea, like, well, that's not natural. So like you can, and that can really create this push and shove. And I see it a lot. Yeah. I don't know about you, but like in my clients, like, you know, when the vaccine came around, this woman reached out to me and she was like, I heard that there's Myrna in it and that like that'll stop like your connection with God. And I was like, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but I think God might be a little bigger than than a shot. And like, you know, to each their own, like you have to, I think you always talk about this. We talk about this, like resonance, like do what's right for you.
Yeah.
But I think that this like formulation, almost it's like for some people, it's just so much easier to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And if they can create their will around it, then they're like, I'm doing the right thing. Like, it's, I mean, it's the same thing with being sober and spirituality, which I think we should talk about.
Yeah.
because that's a hot topic too. And yeah, like, you know, whoever wants to be sober, like if that's what you feel is right for you, awesome. But if you're like not drinking because you like it, but you feel guilty because somebody tells you what to do, like where's the resonance to that? Like, you know, and I think New Age kind of does that. It's like jamming a circle into a square.
Yeah. I think like, so this is all like the stuff that I was like talking about with the domination, like it's an application. It's like, I really feel like colonialism in the US, which has evolved into like US culture, which is, you know, I call it American dreamism when I'm teaching about normalcy. It creates a wound of belonging and unbelonging for so many of us, like whether it's around race, whether it's around money, whether it's around access to education or citizenship, like everywhere we turn is like an opportunity to feel like we don't belong. And we bring that into our relationships. We bring that into our personal lives. We feel like we don't belong in our own bodies. We don't belong, you know, like it's everywhere. It's pervasive here. And I definitely have like asked the records about this and like, what is whatever. We don't need to get into that now, but like a lot of like the New Age movement did not question those like presuppositions of our culture, but applied, you know, the practices of Eastern philosophies onto a Western ontology. And so like we get the stuff about the body is so real. Or so like a big like thing that I study in coloniality is about purity. And I think like what you're talking about is a lot of like the purity, the drive for purity, like that we can be pure with our diets, that we can have eat clean, that we can like, you know, I put this Organite next to my phone so I don't get the EMFs when I use my cell phone that I'm on 25 hours a day. so, excuse me. It to me, and I think like one of the things we haven't like said overtly is like our interest, what it sounds like, at least I can speak for myself, like my interest in becoming spiritual was to find some kind of liberation away from the constant feeling that I don't belong, like the constant feeling that I'm wrong in my body, that I have never, I'll never be loved. I have to earn my love. I have to like work for this and that. I didn't know this until several years later, but like what I was looking for was something to know about myself that would affirm that I'm okay as I am. And so it started to like really grate at me when I would get involved in spaces where there was so much demand for you to behave a certain way, eat certain foods, meditate at certain hours, do certain, you know, like, and not enough of what I wanted, which was like, what is your resonant path? What do you want? What are your desires? And I see I get why people, and I want it too sometimes, like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it and then I'll be good. Like it would be so easy. It would be so easy, but that's also the same wound of like capitalism, like just perform labor, just make money, spend your life in this like identical trajectory that everyone else is, like grow up, graduate, get married, buy a house, work for, you know, 40 years, retire, die, like do these things and then you will be good. And so for me, I can see like a lot of people, and like I've had clients like just straight up tell me like that I'm scary or that what I offer is too like too much. And I get it's because they're not at that place yet of feeling confident and wanting to know that liberation outside of unbelonging. But the New Age movement, especially the way we saw it, like the thing that you sent me about like why people should not be channeling was like so sad to me. Like imagine being like this. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, talk for so long.
No. It you know, shout out Mary Greasy for sending me that. But no, like I and I told her and I told you, like normally, maybe I don't come off this way, but you know, I'm pretty chill about stuff. Like, if you want to post in your post, like, it's your space, do what you want to do. But it made me like, I could feel myself getting angry after reading. So essentially, this woman who calls herself a shaman, she also has a podcast, so I hope she listens to ours. she basically says, like, you shouldn't channel. You shouldn't channel because you can touch into demons, and there is a lot of negative energy out there. And if you want to get in touch with your dead loved ones, you can do it in another way. And just basically just cutting off the whole idea of channeling. And for me, what it screamed to me is, this is gatekeeping through fear mongering. And I think that, you know, yes, I think when you get to a certain level in your practice, there are things that you have to be aware of, but it really does come down to trust and resonance. So, like, if you are in full belief and trust, if you are, I think through experiences where you gain confidence. Like, I believe that 100%, right? And I have done things wrong many, many times. You know, this is, I've worked in ritual and ceremonial magic. I have fucked up, right? But I learn each time. So each time that happens, it doesn't feel evil to me. It feels like it's just coming from a different point of view, and it teaches me something, and I love it. And then I offer it love. Like, thank you for being there. Like, you know, thank you for scaring the shit out of me. I honestly think that through that evolution, you gain that confidence. And so I think that that is how you approach someone. So for me, that whole slide was like, there is no couth here. There is like no, like, this is dumb. This person is dumb. And that's mean, but I don't care. I don't think that anybody should throw fear out at other people when they have a connection, because there is going to be somebody out there who naturally channels, because most channelers naturally do that, and it's going to scare them, and they're already scared because they're trying to figure it out. So now they're going to pull back, and now they're going to create their own reality. Well, that, I don't know. I don't know what that is. So that
Be
scares me
afraid of
just because,
themselves.
right? And it's going to create distrust, and that is the evil. That is the negative. And so it made me just so fucking mad that somebody is out there calling themselves a shaman. You already can see this person in your mind's eye. I don't even have to explain what this person looks like, you know. And what they're doing, because guaranteed, I told Mary this, guaranteed in like a month or two, she's gonna have a master class about protecting yourself. Or this is all money. This is all capitalistic. This is bullshit. And in the end, like, I know from my point of view, and I definitely know because Leah and I are down like this. Like, you and I don't, like, we fear. There's stuff in our body we have a reaction to, but like that evil spirit, that whatever, that stuff doesn't scare us because I think an opportunity. So the point, the way you get to that point is it through experience and through trust. And so this person putting that nugget out there, I like, don't tell people what to do. Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you? It when I read it, I was like immediately like, so like this person is deeply separated from nature because she's afraid of what could happen externally, even for herself.
1,000%.
And so like that is not, and so like you said, like trust and resonance, but I would add to that practice and discernment. Like I know because I've practiced for a long time now, that is not the kind of teacher that I want, because what
No.
I want is somebody who is helping me not ignore fear, but like see through it, like work with it. What is it about? As you were talking, as I was thinking about, I used to work in an elementary school for a while, and it was in an after school program. I was a director, and it was in San Francisco, and all of the after school programs in San Francisco are licensed by this thing called community care licensing, and they would come and just do like random like audits, just check like wellness checks, just like see what we're up to. And they came in the morning one time, and I had some kindergartners. We had a morning program, and I had some kindergartners, and we would make breakfast together. And one of them was using a plastic knife to cut strawberries, and I got written up for it. And I was like, no, I'm not. What do you mean? Well, I have not done anything wrong. We're allowed to have plastic cutlery. What are you talking about? And they're like, because a kindergartner is too young to use a knife. And I was like, look at this. And I took the knife and I like sliced my hand, and I was like, nothing, did not draw blood, nothing. This is this. And I was like, I would rather train a young person to have skill with a tool that they're later going to use to live their life than teach them that they can't do this thing until they're older. I would rather, like, there are children, like, I mean, I want to be like, bitch, who do you think made your shirt? Probably a 4-year-old in Cambodia, honestly. Yeah. Like, let's be real here. Like, it was like a moment. I think about this moment a lot. Like, this person, I got mad at them. They were just doing their job. Like, I should not have gotten mad at them. They literally were like, this is what I was trained to do. I'm sorry.
Dog, but I like, get paid per hour. Leave me alone. You're like, this is above
not even my on pay salary. Don't talk to me. Here's my manager's email. But like, it like really was one of the eye-opening moments for me about how like, from birth, we are indoctrinated to yield our power, to believe we are powerless, that we need higher authorities to tell us when we could do something, or that, oh no, you're not smart enough to do that. You need to go through so many trainings. You need to go through life experiences, you know, all these things, instead of, yeah, you don't know how to use a knife. Let's practice it. Yeah. Here's how to be careful. Here's what the risks are. You could cut yourself, but it's okay if you cut yourself. Here's what we do with that.
Yeah.
And so like, I could feel that. I feel that so much, like when I see a lot of these practitioners that are using fear mongering as a gatekeeper, like, are you trying to liberate me from fear of myself and my unbelonging and yielding my power? Or are you doubling down on that and telling me I'm not good enough and I need to train and I should stay away from things, but you can do it. You're the authority. You're the gifted one. And that is like a deep level of discernment for me, like who to stay away from and who to move forward with, or who are my people.
Yeah. I just want to note, my husband has like double screens for work. And as you were talking, the screens went doo doo doo, and then they turned on, and then they like had like a thing, and then they turned off. Like,
oh,
and they're off. That like all three of his screens are off. I don't know why. Oh, so anyways, weird. So, you know, we are in the presence.
Yeah.
Spirit. No. No, I agree with you. You know, my 2-year-old, you know, she has a knife designated in our kitchen. I teach her, like, when I cook, she cooks with me. Like, I don't want her to be afraid of things. And like, you know, the way I think of it is, sure, there are things there that are set up that you can learn for your protection if that's what you feel you need.
Right.
But like, when I think of protection, I think of somebody being in a house. And when I think of protection, I'm thinking of like some sort of shield around that house. But ultimately, what does that mean? That means I'm stuck inside of the house.
Yeah.
So like, how do I get outside of the house?
Yeah.
To be bigger than the house. Right. So like, I think that putting these qualifiers or limitations on people is the direct opposite of what, at least in my experience, in my own connection with spirit and the Akasha and who I channel with, is to push the boundaries of limitation.
Yeah.
Like, it's just constant pushing the boundaries. And you were talking about like your want to be in spirituality is to figure out like, is to feel a sense of like, you know, like loving yourself as you are and not feeling displaced or misplaced or whatever. And it's so funny because, you know, growing up, like I was given away immediately after birth, and I was constantly put home to home, and I was constantly misplaced and displaced. And, you know, but what I realized, as much as that hurt, you know, as a child and through my teens, is I got to a place and I was like, having no stability taught me how to be comfortable with who I am a lot quicker than most people. And what it did is it didn't keep me stagnant in one place where programming or certain social pressures were applied to me, because I had to move. Like I had to move. I went to three different schools in three different states in fifth grade. Like I didn't have time to figure out what everyone else liked or didn't like.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So I think when we look at things like evil spirits or demons or whatever, and I will say this over and over again, demon was a catch-all word for spirits in, you know, medieval times and prior to that. So it was a catch-all for spirit. And then the church took that word and turned it into a negative. So demon is not necessarily a negative thing, though we apply a negative connotation to it. So let's be clear about that. If you think of it, it's coming from a place. And if you're afraid of it, that's okay. You're going to have a feeling in your body. Your body is going to react. Your intellect is going to react different than your spirit reacts.
Yeah.
Sometimes things happen very differently for the intellect than the body or for the heart.
Yeah.
But you might learn something out of that. You might figure out maybe a new way of protection. Yeah. You might figure out you have the balls to say back up. You might figure out that like it doesn't bother you as much as it used to. There is an opportunity. Whenever there is a gap, there is an opportunity. And I think that these limitations or these you have to, you want to, whatever, is like such a cop-out. Like I love herbalism. I mean, my grandmother was a root worker. She, if something was wrong, she would throw you in a bath with a bunch of different roots that she found out in the woods. Like she was awesome at that. But I feel like present day herbalism does tend to put a lot of pressure on like how we show up in society and if we should align ourselves with either the natural way or the scientific way. And my theory for me personally is that we live at a time with so much technology, with so much stuff going on that our like human natural bodies are not meant to handle, are not meant to deal with. Mm-hmm. Right. So if science is there, then like I'm going to use the science that works for me.
Yeah.
Right. Like personally, if it wasn't for Zoloft, I think I would have not snapped out of my of my postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know I had. And I was using milky oats the whole time. So I got so skinny because I wasn't eating gluten. I wasn't eating processed sugar. I wasn't drinking alcohol for a year and a half. And like my bones were like shining out of my face. I'm a very petite person. And it was Zoloft that got me out of it. But like, I'm not saying that works for everyone. I'm not saying you need to go get a vaccine. You got to do what's right for you. And only you know that answer.
Yeah.
No one else is going to tell you that answer. And I can tell you my dreams, my channeling, my, all that is still on lock. If anything, it's like crazier than it's ever been. So it's not affecting me.
Well, I mean, also like, people that believe that are presupposing that they're
that there's Zoloft a limitation a on part, God.
Well, also Zoloft isn't a part of the natural world. Everything that exists is a part of the natural world, whether it came through the like creation and fabrication of like human beings or whether it grew out of the ground as is. Like, and this goes back to that notion of like we're separate from nature, which is a very colonial modernist way of being. And so like all that protection stuff, I'm not saying that I don't want to protect myself, that I'm like, I stupidly go out in the street and just cross against traffic, or like I use common sense in my spiritual practices, in my everyday life. Like I'm not an idiot about like my safety, but my safety is not predicated on this idea of othering, that I'm afraid of the other, that like I should fear everyone and therefore protect myself so that you know, they can't harm me. But really what I am running from is my own fear. And so like, this is why like a practice and discernment along with trust and resonance is so like important to me, because I couldn't, but like I've seen other people get lulled into the speech and the words and the messages of some practitioners that like make you believe you need to do all this crazy protection stuff or eat these crazy herbs or do these crazy things in order to achieve a certain level of something. And meanwhile, they don't even see that they are doubling down on the othering, separating themselves even more from everything else, giving their power to another practitioner. So like, yeah, the discernment is really big to me. It's,
yeah. I think that like, yeah, I think that like the, again, it comes down to like, who is your audience, right? Who are they talking to? They're talking to themselves, yeah. But they're also talking to an audience that can't afford what,
yeah, that too. What
they have, yeah. Right? So like, yeah, you know, this like only eating whole food, like, look, I'm very much organic, right? Like, yeah. I am very, you know, I wash my fruit. Like, I am very particular about stuff like that. And I do want it to be as natural as possible.
Yeah.
But like, I like McDonald's too. Like, you know, and yeah, like some of the most talented people I know and most like spiritual people I know drink beer and eat Madura. So like, I mean, I don't know what you're, you know, yeah, the amount of like,
yeah,
spices and saison and like, you know,
yeah,
MSG and all of that. Like, it,
yeah,
it doesn't change your, yeah, makeup. It's what you want to believe,
yeah,
right?
And
yeah, so like, if I add some kind of like chaga, reishi, whatever, like those things are great for us, but like they are really expensive, and so that, yeah, just says that like, okay, we're gatekeeping this stuff, like, to me,
yeah,
like you're yeah, socially, economically not,
yeah,
like you're, yeah, not, you know. And I think that's like a,
yeah,
really great way of like continuing this separation,
yeah,
of like, we can do this and you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Or this, so like this, even beyond gatekeeping, it's like an upholding of like, that practice is like reifying and strengthening and fortifying like poverty, like separation. So like what like the subtext that I'm hearing there is like, you can have a pure, clean, holistic body that is higher vibrational and divine if you eat these things and do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that live in food deserts. There are people living in systemic poverty. There are people that don't even know about the things you're talking about. Are you just saying that these people are also separated from their divinity? Are you saying that these people are somehow left? Like, it, I just like, that's the other part of like my, like it, I don't vibe with any spiritual practice that says you need to have certain things in order to achieve this thing.
Right.
I know that like paying for skills and services and tools is helpful, but like in my head, and this is like why I like resonated so deeply with like the Akashic Records, was like, all I have to do is memorize a prayer. I could, yeah, be in the middle of nowhere with no Wi-Fi. I could be in a jail cell, like with no contact, and I can still have a connection. And that's maybe a story I'm telling myself, but if your connection to the divine requires you to have spent a certain amount of money, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but that is a story that you've bought into about,
yeah,
who you are and what you believe is possible for yourself. And so for me, like when I work with clients, when I'm teaching, I'm again not saying it's right or wrong, but like I want people to at least have a critical awareness of like, what is the story I believe about what's necessary in order to be spiritual? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that like what you said is like, it hits the nail on the head, right? Like, you have a prayer. That's what, that is like your connection to divinity. Like, that's all you need, but that is your reality, right? Yeah. Like, that's what you've told yourself and that's what you yeah, trust in. Yeah. And I think that that's ultimately what it is. And it's not always social economic, right? Like,
yeah,
this is like the Chinese food, the Chinese restaurant thing that really like sticks with me and sticks to my bones, especially because I'm half Asian. Like, you know, it's never like, oh, Chinese people are dirty, Chinese restaurants are gross, like whatever. And, but you will 1000% take like the base of what we have and make it vegan and make it clean and then charge so much more money for,
yeah,
it. And it's like, you know, I know some really well successful, my aunties and uncles are like very successful and that's what they eat and they're, yeah, fine with that. And for us, we're like, I don't want to go to a clean Chinese restaurant. I want to go somewhere, yeah, that's kind of gross because I know, yeah, or kind of gross, but like I know that this is like real cooking. So it's not even like a money thing. It's a judgment, right? And so like like we're sitting here calling people like dumb, and well, I am, and and saying all of this stuff, but like the way I feel about this is I'm doing exactly what I did in high school. I'm doing exactly what I did in middle school. I'm bullying the bully. And like, maybe that doesn't make it right, but like, I literally don't care. That's how I feel. And so my whole reason of going into spirituality and like trying to figure out what are these voices that are talking to me is like, I always constantly pushed against the grain, and I always felt comfortable doing that and not what anybody else said. So like, why do I feel that? And the only thing that ever made sense was like the outside voices, the dreams that I have, the connection that I have. And for me, that's more real than anything. And I've said this to my husband, like I've been homeless. I have like not known where I was going to get money to buy diapers for my son. I have been in the worst situations, and I didn't have the money to buy organic at that time. I didn't even have money to buy, you know, milk at the time. But I listened to the connection and the intuition, and I just fucking went with it. And like now I'm living a life, not saying that this is for everyone, but I'm living a life that I never thought I could live. So I didn't even think it was possible from, you know, the experience that I had from like living in the South under poverty. You know, my, my grandmother, if she didn't make it in her garden, it came from a can. Like I don't think I really ate anything good for me until I was like in my 20s. The first time I moved to Philly, or like I was 18, I moved to Philly and I saw Whole Foods and I was like, what was that? Like, that was so brand new to me, but I was very connected, and I still am very connected. And so I think that this like whole, like you have to, you gotta, you can't. And I'll even like, you know, admit to it when I, earlier on in my practice, like I remember like having this one girl, and she's like, spirits talk to me all the time. Like they talk to me constantly. I talk to them like da, 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 da. And I knew like in the circle we were in, she just really wanted to feel special. And I was like, I mean, you know, you might want to like, I don't know, like tone down a little bit. Like, because I was like, this sounds, you know, whatever. But like, that wasn't my place to tell her, but that takes time too. Like all of this stuff takes time to learn. No one's perfect. But I think that, like you're saying, these practices become the experiences, which become the building blocks of your foundation and to trust.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting that you mentioned the Chinese restaurant thing, because that is the overlay of white supremacy culture. Like I just saw a TikTok of a woman, she's Vietnamese, and she was like, here's how I know I'm at a good Vietnamese restaurant. And she basically was like, she was like,
is there plastic on the table?
Yeah. She's like, the menus are plastic laminated. There's pictures of the food. There's like a B or less rating because it's all like food that's cooked in front of you. Like she was just like, if it's not this, and she's like an LA Times like food writer, like she knows like, you know, whatever gourmet food or restaurants. And she's like, if it's not that, I'm not going into it. I don't want. And so like what she's talking about really does have, I mean, it does have to do with money, but like, it's also like yielding our own cultural knowledge, our own like wisdom, our own upbringing to like a white supremacist way of being that has said like, the food has to be like this, the cleanliness rating, even just having a rating. And I'm not saying that some places shouldn't have a rating, because some places are shitholes and we need to have somebody check them.
I've eaten at Momofuku and in New York, and they had a C rating like at the noodle bar. So like, exactly, you know, it's all like,
I've also like, there was a place that I used to go to in San Francisco that was like, it was called Golden Era. And it was run by a cult. I think it was a part of the Reverend Sun Myung Moon like cult. And it was bomb. It was vegan. And there was like, they made these like delicious dumplings that we would like get. Oh my God. They were like so gingery. But we were like sitting there and a fucking cockroach just ran over our table. And we were like,
because we're not separate from nature.
Exactly. I was like, can I buy you a drink? It was It was just like, granted, I do not like cockroaches. I'm not just okay with a cockroach in my
That
food.
is the only insect I do not fuck with. Actually, I don't fuck with caterpillars either.
Oh,
Because
weird.
they're fuzzy worms with legs. That's just
Yeah,
not
that's
right to
so
me.
cute.
No, I can't. I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. Anyways. That is when I'm separate from nature. Don't want it touching me. Ew.
Like, obviously, like, I'm not saying that the binary opposite is okay. Yeah, give me all the cockroaches. I'm fine with it. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But what I'm saying is, like, I didn't go immediately to these people are bad. These people are less than. This is
The
an
food's
inferior
gross.
place. The food is gross. This, and then project that onto somehow this, that this is cultural, that these are what these people, quotes around these people, if you're listening, like, are like, I didn't like, and that's what like white supremacy culture does. And so we like try to make an aesthetic that is so distant from,
Clean and pure.
yes, we try to make an aesthetic of clean and pure. And that's everywhere in New Age spirituality because, and so like this takes me to like the thing about ascension. We're trying to escape nature in colonial world all the time. We're trying to like not be a part of like the dirt and the earth and the grossness and like, we're trying to be civil all the time. We're trying to be like enlightened. We're trying to be wise. We're trying to be like something above the like, feralness of the sensual world, of the natural world. And that's what happens when people start getting into like the ascension and the 5D. As soon as you start ranking stuff like consciousness or even the idea of ascension is like started from the bottom, now you're here, like
Yeah.
that it's a line, that it's like a linear process, that like it can only go from one to this one. Like what you're doing is you're colonizing consciousness now. You're trying to escape where you come from to be like, I own this terrain now. I am better. I'm leaving. I'm not down there with all y'all that are dealing with your anger and your depression. And like, I'm up here eating my fucking sprouted bread and I'm having the good life. And that is
First off,
absolutely
spotted bread is disgusting. So, are you really living that
100. I hate when
Give
someone
me
first.
a baguette, a bleached
Ugh.
baguette
Yeah. I
of
can't with
hot
sprouted
butter.
bread. I cannot with sprouted bread. But like I'm wary of people. So like I'm simultaneously like enthralled by a consciousness ascension, like
Oh,
expansion.
yeah.
I'm enthralled by like having contact with other, I mean, like the Akashic records have been, or the Akasha has been described as like a dimension of consciousness. Like meditation is like expanding into a conscious, like I love it. And at the same time, I check myself in on, am I trying to escape my life? Am I trying to escape my body? Am I trying to escape the actual things that my soul brought me here to like struggle through because that's how much it loves me? Like, what am I trying to do here? And I think like so many people, when I first got into like going to those things, like there's a thing in LA called the Conscious Life Expo. And like, I really want to go to this thing in the summer called Contact in the Desert. And it's like just an ET conference for a weekend. And it's in Joshua Tree. I really want to go. I've never been, but like
Give me the
there's
dates.
an, it's the beginning of June, I think. It's like the 2nd through the 4th or something. But like,
Baby.
it's, yeah, it, I don't even know if I'll actually have the guts to go, but like, but there's like a pre for so many people that are not thinking this way. There's just a desire to escape. There's just a
Yeah.
desire to be on to the next, to leave this stuff behind. This is the world that, humans are terrible. And that's just not what I believe at all, at all.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think for a long time I avoided the whole galactic thing, the whole whatever,
Yeah.
because of the people that were down with it are
Yeah.
like so whatever, they're like not my people,
Yeah.
and it kept me away from it. But when I've had my own experiences, I was like, oh, like you can't pretend this stuff isn't happening. Like
Yeah.
you cannot. And it's interesting because you were saying, like feeling like you're escaping. Because, like, for me, I don't feel that way. Like, I think I did for a while, but now I feel like, well, this is why I use the term spiritual ecosystem. It's a part of my ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I like, instead of like being hard on myself, like, no, this isn't why your soul is bringing you here. Just get in line. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm going to be open to like whatever my shit wants to do. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've seen some wild ascension stuff and like 5D and placing like names on stuff and like really 5D is not even good for you anymore. Like, you know, there's like people, dude, this is for real. I'll have to send some stuff to you. Ugh. I think this is like, if this keeps going, we might have to like share stuff with our listeners. See, but there's like people that are like, I stopped worshiping the moon. And when I stopped worshiping the moon, like the bags under my eyes disappeared and I stopped using vibrators because I'm not having sex with AI. And like, I mean, like, I don't mean to laugh because that's their reality. Right. But I was like, listen, I'm not giving up my vibrator because I really enjoy it. I don't care if it's like an alien.
How
I don't
is
care
it
if
an
it's
AI?
Like,
How
or, you know, I don't know. But, but you know, there are. And then they're like, this is the cult of the moon. And it's like, well, you're kind of creating your own cult, you know? So it's like, I don't know if we should be painting the ghetto black. But I do find it, at least, this is a strange way of saying, it's still so vast that I know that my brain cannot compute it. But at least it's like closer to less than the infinity, if that makes sense. And I feel like just that makes it so much more tangible to me. So in my mind, I just see it as, you know, when I say dimension, it's not like a place. So it's a frequency. And so like if that frequency is less than infinity, right? And so like in Kabbalah, we have Ein, Ein Sof, Ein Sof Or. So it's like Ein Sof Or is the infinite, like beyond our consciousness, beyond any consciousness, beyond anything, like the nothing, right? And, you know, I always get like so bunched up because, you know, my name is Divine Void. And then like people are like the void, the nothingness. And I'm like, but that is where everything is.
Yeah.
That nothingness is what holds. It's black. Black is all and nothing.
Yeah.
So at least in my mind, those dimensions are closer to us than the infinite. And that means that I can, because I believe this, like I can access that as I want, when I want.
Yeah.
As long as I continue, like, I don't know. Yeah. So I think like this, like the stories that are put around it are like bizarre, but then like my own experiences with it are also bizarre. And so I feel for people like me and like that are out there, they're like, I've had some weird stuff, but like, I don't really believe in this stuff. Or when I read it or I try to, that's the big thing. Like when I try to get into it, I don't like vibe with it. Like I get this a lot with the angelics. And for those of you who don't know, I work very heavily in angelics, but a lot of what I work in, there's a lot of research around it, and there's a lot of reading old grimoires and different books and trying to find the words between the lines, right?
Yeah.
But I've had clients that are like, I've tried to go into it, but it's a lot of new age stuff. And I'm like, it makes them want to step back, just like how I was saying, how like the 5G, the ascension stuff made me want to step back. But it's like, it's finding your trusting in yourself to connect to it.
Yeah.
And finding it. And then like when you're ready, it's always like when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. That stuff will find you. That stuff will always find you.
Yeah.
Dude, like the whole like you need to, even in that channelers thing, it was like you need to go through a ascension in order to speak to angels. And like, what does that mean?
Yeah. You know, I some of it though, I really do like some of the stuff. Okay, we haven't really talked about law of attraction and manifesting all that stuff, which is deeply a part of New Age, but like I do personally really have internalized and believe in like the power of vibration and all that stuff and how it's connected and registered to our like state of being in our bodies. And as I, cause I was really inundated for a while with like the 5D ascension community, like in my ear all the time and just being like, why do I not like this? and like one of the things that like I have experienced in my own life, my friend asks me this question a lot. And it's not like she doesn't remember my answer, but it's like the answer always changes. Like we have this conversation where she'll just ask me, what do you think healing is? What do you think healing is today? Okay, on this other day, what do you think healing is? And the answer that I keep coming back to is it's being unstuck. And it's like before I had these traumatic experiences that created belief systems in my body that made me think I was limited from love or that I was unsafe or whatever those things are. And I went through some kind of process that didn't remove the traumas. I didn't heal the traumas in a way that like now they don't exist. But I went through some kind of phase change where like I'm now no longer stuck in them. They're still there, but I'm not stuck in believing that those were the only realities. And therefore, what I have felt in my body is what, you know, in the new age world, we would call like a shift in vibration. Now, my body resonates with I'm unstuck. And now I feel my consciousness expand into other ways of being, like myself expand into other ways of being that I couldn't have even entertained back then because I was just trying to survive. I didn't know that, but I was just trying to survive. And so like one of the things I was thinking about was like, okay, I mean, I'm just like toying with hypotheses in my mind. Maybe what they're talking about with ascension is like becoming unstuck in your body. And I'm like, well, that's very different than what they're saying because they're thinking you're going to go up there or like you're going out there. And it made me feel so, I don't know, like gleeful to think that like, again, I don't need to go anywhere. I have all the tools right here. I'm right here. The body is the thing. Like, and as a human, like we come, I mean, this is just me waxing poetic. Like we come to be exactly human. And I'm not saying I'm 100% human, but I am 100% in this body right now. I can only hear a certain range of frequencies with human ears. I can't hear, you know, that's why I can only see a certain range of like color frequencies with my eyes. This is like what the design of the human body is able to do. And I know that like I'm describing things that could be considered ableism, but whatever. like I didn't come here to, I'm not trying to bypass the human body to have some other enlightened experience that's out there. And like one of the things that you said earlier, and I wanted to say this was like, when we go to like the concept of evil, I think a lot of like what is misinterpreted as simply evil is a human inability to see through whatever is happening. So like the seraphim are a good example of like beings that are angelic and like quote unquote high vibrational divine beings, but to the human consciousness appear so terrifying.
Be not afraid.
Yeah. So scary, but it's not because they're actually scary or harmful. I mean, like, but it's that like my body can only withstand as a human being a certain amount of energy, a certain, you know, like I can't stick my hand into a flame because human flesh will burn and melt. Whereas like another thing that's designed to withstand heat can handle that. Like, so we, instead of like seeing through and seeing what our abilities are or what we're able to do as humans, we want to bypass all that. We want to be the ascended person. We want to, you know, and I don't know. I just keep coming back to know it's right here in the body. Listen to the body. Like, yeah.
I think that, I agree with everything you're saying. And I think that, you know, this brings up a couple of things. This brings up the trouble with language, right? The barrier of language.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think in our conversations, we talk about it a lot. Like when we see words and we're like, that's not what that means, or that's not what they're trying to convey.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, and then I also think it brings up expectation. And I think in the spiritual world, people do get really caught up with this magical feeling. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can get addicted to spirituality for sure.
Yeah.
Like people get addicted. Like I get the whole thing where people are like, I feel so separate from spirit lately. And I'm like, you're not, what? No, you're not separate from it. Like,
yeah, never.
Just because you don't hear it, you don't see it, you don't feel it right now, doesn't mean it's not working on its own. Like it doesn't always like, you know, and Carl Jung, it has nothing to do with you. I love Philemon. The guy that's in his head, he's like, why do you think this has anything to do with you? but you know, I think that there's a lot of expectation because ascension to me, the way it's conveyed, is the same as enlightenment, right? Mm. We feel like all these things will disappear. There's this like sense of euphoria, the sense of aboveness, the sense of like, in like elevation. But what I think it is truly is that shift. And I think that we forget that these like very small things, they're not even small, they're huge, but these things that happen in our body, in our consciousness, in our awareness, you know, like when you're like, when you get a bunch of synchronicities and you put it all together and you get the message and you're like, holy shit, that is the shift. And we want it to be so much more bigger because we want it to erase something that is very human, an experience, a trauma, a lack, a whatever, like erase something from us because that means we are above it, but that's not what it is. We are with it. It's the same way we are with nature. Like there's good, there's bad, there's chaos, there's order.
Totally.
So I think that there's all these expectations on things like the ascension part, the enlightenment part, the feeling and meditation. We have these preconceived notions, these ideas, these expectations on them, but really they're very much simple. If we just bring our awareness to them, and then when we lay the importance of it, we get the same fucking high that, you know, many a people have been writing for like ages and ages, or writing on for ages and ages. And I think that that's what it really boils down to. It's language and it's expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. And trust and resonance and discernment.
It boils down to a lot of things, but you know.
That boils down to 100 things, but just 100. And if you pay us, just send us $10 a month and we will give you these 100 things.
Just $19.99 for 25 minutes. We will give you the entire package. So look, I think our time is up, but I think you brought up something that connects to New Age, and I know you always bring it up on your Instagram, and you know the laws of attraction, laws of manifestation, all of that. I think that is a topic we should touch on at some point. We're gonna keep tally.
I love talking about what the records call vibrational law. I love it.
Well, I think I told you my interpretation of law, and I don't know. I just want any reason for me to be like, that's wrong. No.
Yeah, I know. I know you
Not
do.
That's wrong, but it's like, I'm such a lawyer, right? Like, I'm like, let me wiggle my way through this to be like, this is what it actually could mean. Yeah. If you really think about it.
Yeah. No, I know. I know you do. That's why this is fun.
But yeah, so I think that's a start on New Age. I think there's so many other topics within it that we could probably speak on.
Yeah.
And what do we have next week? Or no, we in a couple weeks.
I think we were going to talk about the Akashic field at some point, like more explicitly, or our experiences with it.
We should. I think so. Okay, cool.
I think so too. Yeah.
So guys, this is like the group of recordings that we are releasing. That is like our coming out party. And I'm really excited.
I am too.
So I hope that we like caught some rhythm. I think we did. I'm hoping we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, do all the things, share, subscribe, and we'll see you guys for the next one.
A couple weeks. Awesome. Yay! Thank you.
Thanks everybody. Bye-bye.